Welcome back to the Neutral Zone. It is Monday, March 18th here in the RMU Central Media Studios. Once again, I am Tyler Gallo.
And I am Jonathan Hanna.
And he will actually be here for the entire podcast this time, hopefully.
Sorry, gotta go.
Of course. So, welcome back after a week. Not a lot of stuff happening over the NHL and the MLB, but there was some news and there's some scores to report and other stuff. We got you covered for your MLB and NHL news as always. So, first off, let's congratulate women's basketball on winning the NEC championship last night. Just let's give a round of applause to that. Really two people in here, but you know, yeah, big round of applause. They took down St. Francis University, their rival, and Jess Kovach, I believe her name is.
Yeah.
And put up a pretty dominant effort last night. I was able to watch that on ESPN Watch, and it was a very, very good game. I don't know if you saw any of it.
I saw some of it. I don't have ESPN Watch, so.
Yeah, I was able to just log into my DirecTV and watch that.
I don't know my stuff, so.
Yeah, it was a good game to watch, and Army came out on top. They've done it before, many times before, and Coach B's got to be happy about that. They will be heading to the NCAA tournament playing March Madness.
Would you like to know who they're playing?
UConn, probably the best team in the tournament. Are they 16 seed or are they 15?
I don't know. I think they're 16 because I feel like UConn's.
Well, UConn is, yeah, so.
I mean, you never
know. It's going to be a one and done.
Hey, RMU beat Kentucky.
And UMBC beat Virginia last year. So there is that. But I guess it's going to be – I mean, it's good for them to go. I mean, UConn's just a powerhouse, so mm-hmm. It's going to be tough for them to win that game. Whoever gets to go to stores and cover that game is going to be – it's going to be exciting. So.
And then this is a soft spot for you, but
– Oh, yeah.
Men's hockey's going to Buffalo.
Congrats, men's hockey. You don't really care. They're going to lose. But I was not invited to that trip, so we'll not talk about that. All right, so we've got baseball news. So some small news. Jason Adam was traded to
Luke Adam?
Yeah. Jason Adam was traded to Toronto Blue Jays for cash from the Royals. Luke Adam, relief pitcher, came up with the Royals last year.
You said Luke
year.
Adam again.
Yeah,
why do you have Luke Adam on your mind?
Because his last name's also Adam. So
still, it's Luke Adam. He played like four games in Buffalo, it seems
like. Who knows? So Jason Adam, 31 games last year for the Royals. Not too great. 6.12 ERA in 31 innings. So in 31 games, he pitched 32.1 innings, which he seems like a one inning and done guy. 37 strikeouts, and he gave up 9 home runs and walked 15. So that's good rotation depth for the Toronto Blue Jays. Don't know too much about Jason Adam, but that's the trade. All right, so two signings. One major league signing, Washington signed reliever Tony Sipp, which is a good pickup for their bullpen, who is already dominant, and is going to contribute to that dogfight in the NL East, it seems. Last season for the Houston Astros, pitched to a 1.86 ERA, 54 games, 38.2 innings pitched. Seemed like a left-handed, well, he's lefty, right? Yes, he's a lefty one-out guy, which we'll get to in a little bit. His role in the league may diminish soon. And then a minor league signing, Cargo was signed by the Cleveland Indians to a minor league deal, but he'll earn $2 million in 1 year if he makes the majors this year, which he likely will because the Indians' outfield is really stretched thin. They've lost some players, and it's gonna be tough for them to do this. All right, John, so we've got some rule changes for the 2020 season, which I don't really agree with. So, John, why don't you enlighten us on that topic?
All right, so we have, let's get this link open and working. All right.
There's one glaring.
Pitchers will be required to face a minimum of 3 batters.
Or finish the inning.
Yes.
Which I don't like. I feel like there's certain guys that are specialists, mm-hmm. and their roles are diminished. Like Jerry Blevins is a good lefty one-out guy. And he's not going to have a role in the league because of this rule. So I don't really like this rule, but – and I don't understand why they're wanting to speed up the game. Like, people aren't going to pay attention regardless. People this day and age aren't going to pay attention to a baseball game unless they really like it, like me.
Baseball's a thing, like, just to happen. Like, I like watching baseball live, but Baseball on TV.
Oh, yeah.
It's something to have in the background.
Exactly. And I like watching it on TV. I don't mind. But, like, when you're at the stadium, you've seen so many people on their phones. It's not going to change that. But there's people that love the game like me, people that will watch the game when they have to, like you, and just put their phone down and enjoy a great sport, mm-hmm. which is really, really falling to pieces now with this generation, which I don't like. So
I mean, a great sport, unless, you know, certain Miami team is playing.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's a good, easy win for the Mets, though. So that's why, like, they're in our division.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then we got a couple more.
Single July 31st trade deadline, with team prohibited from making any type of trade after that.
I don't mind that, but there has been some pretty good waiver trades mm-hmm. in the last few years. I mean, the Mets got Addison Reed for their stretch run to the World Series in 2015 in August, and it contributed greatly. He was an unreal pitcher out of their bullpen for a few years, so I don't mind that. And I believe, wasn't Justin Verlander a waiver trade as well?
Or I think so.
Wasn't he after the trade deadline?
Something like that,
yeah. So that's going to – and he contributed to that Houston World Series run as well. So I don't know. I mean, I guess that helps the thing, because you're going to get all your trades out on one day and not have to worry about any more players moving. I don't mind that. And then the other one was the 40-man, 25-man roster thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in September, teams are only permitted to – I believe it's 28 – to expand the roster to 28 instead of 40, which – you know, I always liked seeing young guys come up in September.
It's a big difference. Like, that's 12 players.
Yeah, and especially with guys, like, they're not really rewarding guys for coming up in September for performing well in the minor leagues. So it's
here comes a certain
Megaton bomb. We've got Mr. Luke Yost entering the studio. He will be in here to give his weekly prediction, it seems. And yeah. Some of them have rang true, some of them haven't. So we're going to have to open the door.
Yep. I'm going to talk real quick. Another rule change, home run derby winner making $1
million. I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah. All right, so we're here with Mr. Luke Yost. How you doing today, Yost?
Phenomenal. What are we talking about today?
Talking about the new rule changes in the MLB, the three-batter minimum and the 40-man rosters and stuff, which we talked about last week.
Well, yeah, if Johnny was here last week, he would have known that I filled in for him. And
I thank you for that.
And gave some great commentary about my thoughts on the rule changes. But it's just baseball rules today?
Right now, I mean, we're going to get into hockey in a little bit.
Okay, so just for the baseball rules – so the MLB, correct me if I'm wrong, changed the switching, right? No, it's pitchers.
Yeah,
it's pitching. Yeah, you have to face three batters, which is really dumb because here's the deal. I say these new rule changes last 2 years before the league gets pressured by the players to change the rules back because the rules are stupid. 2 years, tops. By 2021, basically back to the normal self and dead ball rule forever.
All right, well, thank you, Yost. Luke Yost, it's a good prediction. Yours last week didn't really ring true, but, you know.
What was last week?
Zion wasn't going to come back,
and
he came back. Yeah. So, all right, well, there's your
there's your weekly Yost bum.
So we have that as one of our weekly segments, which we enjoy. I mean, most of his predictions are pretty crazy, and some of them actually have happened.
Yeah.
So.
What was the one that happened earlier? It was Penguins will be fine by
January. Yeah. And he's had some, like, the Browns are winning the AFC North, which seems more likely this year.
Mm-hmm. Tampa's
going to lose in the first round, which I don't know. And then the Padres are winning the World Series, which is not going to happen. All right. And then Houston, is there any more rule changes we have to talk about?
Nothing really too bad. I mean, a minimum player on the injured list will be increased to 15 days instead of 10.
So it was 10 days. It was changed to 10 days, I believe, in 2017, and they moved it back to 15 this year.
Oh, this is an interesting one. I mean, it sort of takes out the fun of baseball. Position players will be prohibited from pitching in games that don't go to extra innings unless a team is ahead or behind by at least 8 runs. I mean,
that's normally what was the case.
I know, but I don't know.
Which kind of stinks because I remember when Ichiro got his chance to pitch. The Marlins were up, I think, or were down by 3. So guys like him won't get the chance to pitch. We got news.
Commercial break shortened by 20 seconds.
Oh yeah, yeah. Still trying to speed up the game. I mean, it's not gonna help it out too much. It's not really gonna fix anything. So that's gonna maybe contribute to 5 minutes lost during game time, but it's still only 5 minutes, if you know what I mean. All right, and then we've got Francis Martez, Houston, who was rehabbing from Tommy John surgery, likely was going to be out for the season, has been suspended for 80 games when he comes back following a positive test for the banned performance-enhancing drug clomiphene. Clomiphene.
That's a fun name.
It's clomiphene. It's an anti-estrogen substance used in fertility treatments and is employed for men to accelerate testosterone production. So that is very illegal and suspended. So he will have to wait a long time before he comes back to the MLB. All right. Charlie Furbush, former relief pitcher in the MLB with Detroit and Seattle, retired after four seasons. Last appeared in a game in 2015. Charlie Furbush did have a really good 2015 season for Seattle. Career 13 wins, 24 losses, and 3.97 ERA, 268 strikeouts in 247 games. He pitched to a his best season was his last year in Seattle in 33 games, pitched to a 2.08 ERA. So I wish him the best of luck in his retirement. And then we've got one more news for baseball, and then we'll head into hockey. Or actually, no, we've got some other stuff to talk about in baseball in a little bit. Charlie Morton announced he will retire at the conclusion of his Rays contract in 2021. And I understand that. He's been in the league since 2008. Guys are starting to drop like flies from that era, which I'm not happy to see. Charlie Morton did win a World Series in 2017, which is really all you need if you're a player that wants to finish his career. Came up in 2008 with the Braves, pitched with Pittsburgh, Philly, and Houston, and now is on Tampa. And last season, by the way, in 2018, All-Star for the first time in his career, went 15-3 with a 3.13 ERA. So, good career for Charlie Morton so far. He's not been too standout, but has won a World Series. So, all right, once we get into our next segment, we've got some opening day starters to talk about. The list will be updated. I'll talk about my picks for the ones that have not been announced yet. And we will go through the ones that are starting right now. So, John, you can take the first few.
All right, Arizona to be determined as they are going to visit the Dodgers, but you pick Greinke.
Yeah, Greinke's really the only guy that stands out in the rotation for me now that they got rid of Patrick Corbin. He has been nothing but good for Arizona this season, or in his career so far for Arizona. But yeah, Zach Greinke, good pick for them. All right, Atlanta to be determined at Philly. My pick is Julio Teheran. Mike, it would have been Mike Foltynewicz, but he went down with injury, and he was probably the best pitcher in the Braves rotation last year. Foltynewicz and Teheran was a non-factor in the playoffs last year. But yeah, so Teheran has pitched the last few opening days, I believe, for the Braves. But good pick for me, I believe. And then Baltimore, his first opening day start, it's going to be at the Yankees. Alex Cobb, who it was really a tale of two seasons for Cobb last year. He pitched to an astronomically high ERA in the first half of the season last year. And then in the second half, did a little bit better. But yeah, so... And then,
to be fair, Baltimore doesn't really have any.
Yeah, I mean, they've got him. They've got Andrew Cashner. Nathan Carnes could throw up for that. But yeah, Alex Cobb, good pick. John, you can take the next few if you want to.
Boston with Chris Sale, which, I mean, you kind of expect. I mean, Chris Sale, he's been one of, if not the ace in Boston. John Lester is starting at Texas for the Cubs again. That's what you expect. Lester's.
The only opening day matchup for Houston or for that's interleague this year is that one. Chicago at Texas. I mean, it's his eighth start in opening day. His first or his fourth with the Cubs. And he started last year in Miami. So, yeah, I mean, Lester's a guy that'll take the ball every fifth day and will do really well. He's been really good since he joined the Cubs, so I agree with this one. All right, so Chicago, the White Sox will play at Kansas City on opening day. They have not announced their starter yet, but my pick is Carlos Rodon. I believe that's how you say his name. Rodon was always a good prospect for Chicago. Yeah, a good prospect. Last season, though, he really came out of the blue, pitched pretty well, went 6-8 with a 4.18 ERA. In his career, he's got a 4.01 Ever since losing Sale, the White Sox haven't had really a good rotation, but I think a guy that could also play for that is Ivan Nova, who started opening day for the Pittsburgh Pirates last year, who we saw. We saw him against the Marlins pitch really well, so it's going to be a tough pick for that one. All right, Cincinnati. John may not like this pick because this is the bane of Yankees fans' existence. They will be at against Pittsburgh on opening day. My pick is Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray became the bane of Yankees fans' existence last year when he really struggled with them. So he's been looking pretty good in spring training for Cincinnati. I believe – actually, did you hear the interview that he gave about why he was so bad when he was the Yankees?
I'm guessing it.
He dropped an S-bomb, which he said the Yankees were trying to make me rely on my slider too much, which is an S-pitch. So I can understand that. Throwing the slider is pretty hard. He hasn't been stretched out too much in spring training yet, but is not allowed to run in five innings. So, and I think he's going to try to have a change. This is a guy that's always been pretty good. So this has been a change of scenery, a bit of a change of scenery deal here. All right. Next one is Cincinnati or Cleveland. They're going to be at Minnesota. My pick is Corey Kluber. And I think you'll pick him too, because Kluber's just been unreal the last few seasons. Like, just off the charts, pretty dominant. Could have won the Cy Young every year. The only other guy that could play for that is Trevor Bauer. I mean, the other three are non-factor, Carrasco, Clevinger, and Bieber. But, yeah, the Indians are really in a toss-up right now between Kluber and Bauer, which is something that wouldn't have been talked about a few years ago. But they're really trusting Trevor Bauer now after his pretty good 2018 season. So, and then Colorado, they've got some good starters like John Gray, but I believe Kyle Freeland's going to be their opening day starter. And you know why? Because last season pitched one of the best seasons, if not the best season, in Coors Field history. Listen to this. Went 17-7 with a 2.85 ERA.
Wow.
You don't hear that ever at Coors Field, right?
Correct.
Like, they're usually high fours, mid fours, low fives, which is normal for a ballpark that has the thin air up there. It really shrinks the balls and make them fly a little bit further. So I think that's a good pick for opening day for Colorado, who will be at Minnesota or Miami on that day. And then Detroit is going to be determined at Toronto. My pick is Jordan Zimmermann. While I believe that Matt Boyd would be a good pick, I mean, Detroit's really fallen off greatly. Like, they've just been so bad in the recent years. Jordan Zimmermann in spring training, he's pitched to a 2 ERA and 3 games started in 9 innings. Last season, 4.52 ERA. Not a bad pick for opening day for Detroit. All right, John, take the next two.
All right, so these two have both been confirmed. You have Houston at Tampa, and Justin Verlander is going to be starting that one.
His 11th opening day, which I believe is 10th all-time.
And it's the most out of anyone here. The only one close is Lester with 8.
Yeah, so Verlander, amazing pitcher.
And then Brad Keller for Kansas City.
Which is interesting because that's his first career opening day start. Brad Keller, a guy that you probably have not have heard of, anybody. Brad Keller last season pitched to a 3.08 ERA and in 41 games pitched and 20 games started. 3.08 ERA for Kansas City, a team that was terrible last year. So good pick for opening day start. Went 9-6. This is a guy that wouldn't have even been thought for opening day last year, and here he is. All right, we've got the Angels to be determined at Oakland. Much as I hate to say this, my pick for opening day starter is Matt Harvey. With the recent injuries to Andrew Heaney and Tyler Skaggs, I believe that it's going to be Harvey. Harvey, I'm hoping he can reclaim his greatness. Harvey last season was terrible. Oh, my goodness. 4.94 ERA, 7-9. With the Mets last season, by the way, went 0-2 with a 7 ERA, which we had to get rid of him.
I've seen worse.
Yeah, you've seen worse. And the next one, the Dodgers, it was supposed to be Kershaw, and it would have been his, I believe, 8th, or it's the last time that someone did not pitch, or Kershaw did not pitch opening day for the Dodgers was 2010. You know who the pitcher was? Vicente Padilla. You've never heard of him? Yeah. 8 straight opening days snapped because Kershaw will not be ready for opening day. My pick is Walker Buehler, a dominant rookie last season. So, yeah. And then we've got a bunch in a row that have been determined. Miami, Jose Urania, the guy that famously threw at Ronald Acuna last year versus Colorado, his second straight. The last time that's happened in Miami history, Josh Johnson. I believe that was 2011 and 12. All right, Milwaukee picked Ulysses Chacin, his third opening day start, first with the Brewers against St. Louis. Chacin really was good last year for the Brewers. Good pick. Minnesota, one of my favorite underrated guys in the league, was an all-star last year, Jose Berrios. young guy, 24, for the youngest Minnesota opening day pitcher since Brad Radke, I believe.
Who's the youngest of this list, would you say?
Youngest? I think it's Berrios. Mm. Berrios is 24.
And then for the Mets, some dude named Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Didn't he win the...
No... Scherzer, right?
Yeah, of
no,
course.
Yeah.
Yeah, of Jacob course. DeGrom. Jacob's DeGrom record wasn't good enough last year.
Yeah,
that's
you're
why.
Right. He went 10-9. He stinks. Jacob DeGrom.
That's only his first.
Only his first. Well, here, think about this. He's only been up since 2014.
Yeah.
He's 30 years old. Came up, won Rookie of the Year in 2014. Obviously not the opening day starter then. 2015 was Bartolo, which had to happen. 2016, I believe, was Syndergaard, and 2017 was also, surprisingly, Syndergaard, who was hurt through spring training and then came back. Otherwise, it would have been DeGrom, who pitched unreal last season. So, there's that. Yankees.
Masahiro Tanaka, surprisingly, is fourth. I mean,
yeah. You think other guys. I mean, Severino was supposed to pitch this year, but he's hurt.
Yeah.
So, Tanaka, guy that give the ball, will pitch well.
I mean, you say Tom Fies, but it's hard to believe that Tanaka's already been up here for 4 years.
Exactly. I mean, just like... few years ago, it's just like,
yeah, I feel like it's been like two at the max.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, and it's crazy, next year is 2020, like, oh my goodness. We'll get into that later, but Oakland picked Mike Fiers, a rotation that was really stretched thin last year, especially when they went to the playoffs. They had to have Liam Hendricks start that game, and it did not go well. This will be versus Seattle in Tokyo during the Tokyo opening series. Can't wait for that. That's in a few days. Cannot wait for that. And then Philadelphia, Aaron Nola, love this guy. Two second straight opening day start versus Atlanta. He will be against Atlanta.
What happened to you? You're complimenting a Philly guy.
This is the one of the few Philly guys that I actually like. Because Nola, very underrated, very good pitcher. I think he'll regress from last year, though. Was up for Cy Young voting. Just struggled in the last bit of the year. And it really, DeGrom just pulled away. All right. The Pirates opening day starter, Jameson Taillon. Guy that... has been good for the Pirates.
Yeah.
If they had not lost Ivan Nova, probably would have been him at Cincinnati.
I remember in the MLB nine innings, they call him Jameson Taillon.
Yeah, they don't know how to pronounce names in the game. All right. San Diego, they're saying it's going to be Chris Paddock, who is a guy that was in Double-A last year, but I believe it should be Joey Lucchesi against San Francisco. Lucchesi has one of the most funky delivery, even funkier than Kershaw, by the way. One of the most funkiest deliveries I have ever seen. Joey Lucchesi last season for the Padres pitched in 26 games. He started all of them, 8-9 with a 4.08 ERA, struck out 145. This is a guy that was pretty underrated last year for Padres, and I think he should get the opening day nod with them losing some pitchers.
San Francisco makes sense, Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, I think he screamed at Bruce Bochy if he wasn't going to give him the opening day start, which should be him at San Diego. All right, we got Seattle and Tokyo. We'll speed this up a little bit. Marco Gonzalez is first because they've traded so many guys. And this is the first non-Felix Hernandez opening day start in a long time. So, surprise, surprise, Marco Gonzalez is getting the opening day start at Oakland and Tokyo. St. Louis has Miles Michaelis, who was just rewarded with a fat contract starting opening day. Last year was the first time he started a Major League Baseball game in April or March in his career. Because he went over to Japan, and he was like a fringe guy in 2012 and stuff when he was here. Miles Michaelis is back. Tampa Bay, no-brainer. Blake Snell getting his first opening day start. Cy Young last year. Texas is going to be Mike Minor, former reliever, will be the starter now, opening day against Chicago. Toronto's Marcus Stroman is second versus Detroit. And Max Scherzer gets his fourth versus the Mets. That's going to be a very marquee matchup opening day.
Yeah, so
DeGrom versus Scherzer. Cy Young versus Cy Young.
Is that... What time is that? It seems like it should be like ESPN's Monday night baseball.
It's at 1. I think it's March 28th.
It should be
a Sunday night baseball matchup.
No, but you know what? It'll probably be Baltimore, New York, Yankees, just because it's the Yankees.
Yeah, Yankees or MLB's Twitter's becoming Yankee or MLB's just becoming Yankees center. Honestly,
yeah.
That's the first game for the Mets this year is on March 28th. It's at Washington at 1:05 p.m. It's going to be on SNY. That's the Nationals home opener. The Mets home opener is not until, I believe, in April. So we'll worry about that later. So that's all your opening. We will update this list once they be announced. We'll probably get to the rest of them next week when the season's actually getting into full swing. All right, we've got some. We'll go to hockey now. I will take a little break for a little bit. John, we've got some NHL news.
Not much, but, you know, simple Tampa and Calgary clinch playoff spots already.
I mean, this was a formality at this point for Tampa to clinch a playoff spot. They're far and away the best team in the league right now.
Mm-hmm. And then Vegas signs Mark Stone, who you're not a big fan of.
I mean, we talked about this deal earlier in a few
overpaid
podcasts.
For him.
I think it should be at least six. Eight's too much, but he has been pretty good since he joined the Vegas. So yeah.
8 years, $9.5 million per. I mean,
I don't know. I think they're going to be hating that deal in a few years. But
I mean, be honest. Who do you think's a better player, him or Eichel?
Eichel. I'm going to
say Eichel. Eichel's getting paid like $1.5 million more than that. So, yeah. I mean, it's not – I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that – that could be a contract that comes back to bite him because even though Stone's 26.
Yeah. He's – I think he's got 4 good years in that contract. And then I was going to say something and I forgot. Oh, yeah. McDavid got his 69th assist of the season last night. Nice. All right. We got some scores last night. Oh, a crap fest for the Devils last night, but what's new? Or last afternoon, they lost 3-0 to the Avs. And by the way, I hate the camera angle at Pepsi Center. It looks so bad.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I mean, I probably have, but
If you go to the MSG broadcasts at the Pepsi Center, it just looks like grainy. It's bad. Tyson Berry scored 2 goals, and Nathan MacKinnon also scored. Schneider picked up 32 saves in the loss. Tank is on for the Devils. Lose for Hughes, crap up for Kako. Let's keep it going.
Buffalo. If I told you Buffalo scored 4 goals in one, would you believe me if I told you that the goal scorers were Johan Larsson, Evan Rodriguez, Connor Sherry, and Sam Reinhart scored the shootout game winner?
I probably would not have believed you, honestly, because Erod is not a great player.
He's decent. I mean,
yeah, he's just ugly.
For St. Louis, the goal scorers were Patrick Maroon, David Perron, and Braden Schenn.
4-3 win for Buffalo, but they're still falling out of the race.
They are. We were out of the race already.
Yeah. Oh, it's been so long since that 10-game win streak.
Yes, it has. Too long. Isles beat Minnesota 3-2 in OT. Isles with goals from Jordan Eberle, Anders Lee, and Brock Nelson, who had the game winner. Minnesota's goals from Zach Parise and Jared Spurgeon.
Much as I hate to say the name Zach Parise, he scored a pretty sweet goal last night between the legs. So if you look at that, one of the best goals I've seen in a while from him. All right, Vancouver beat Dallas in a shootout, 3-2. 2 goals for Tim Schaller in regulation for Vancouver. I don't really know who he is.
He was in Buffalo and Boston.
Oh, and then Josh Levo scored the shootout game winner and goals for Jamie Benn and Taylor Fadoon.
Another former Sabre.
Fadoon? Yeah. Jamie Benn?
Yeah. This game I love.
Oh, my God. Just a total eclipse of the heart in that game. A total collapse.
Pittsburgh up 1-0 for pretty much the entire game.
And there was 50 seconds left.
50 seconds left. James Van Riemsdyk scores to send the game to overtime. Oh. And then he scored with what, 7 point something?
Three.
Oh, three?
3 seconds left in overtime. Sean Couturier. Teddy Blue just scored for Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh should burn all their Stadium Series jerseys.
Oh, my. Why were they even wearing those? They think the Flyers are going to wear theirs? Like,
I don't know.
No, it didn't happen. Oh, my gosh. What a collapse in that game. They were up for the entire game, and then they just lost.
Anaheim beat Florida 3-2. I mean,
Anaheim. What the heck's happening in the West?
I don't know.
Like, the West is just a crapshoot at this point. Like, what is happening? Goals for Devin Shore, Adam Henrik, and Henrik gets over, and Silfverberg. And then Evgeny Dadonov.
Dadonov.
And Dadonov.
Aaron Ekblad, who you really haven't heard much of. Like,
I got a shirt of him.
Jersey,
yeah, when I was in Florida for the draft.
And then the highest scoring night of the game of the night. Vegas.
9 goals. Whoa.
Vegas beat Edmonton 6-3. Vegas with goals from Jonathan Marchessault, Mark Stone, just signed the contract, Cody Eakin, Braden McNabb, and Alex Touch.
Whatever happened to Thomas Nosek?
I have no clue.
And then Edmonton goals from Nugent Hopkins, Dreisaitl, and Chris Russell. That's all the scores for last night.
Really nothing big.
No. No Hatties. No big milestones reached.
And if I told you the three people closest to getting a hat trick were Jonathan Marchessault, Tyson Barry, and Tim Schaller. Like, what is happening with the league now?
Nobody knows. These guys are coming out of nowhere and scoring goals. All right, we got some tonight's games. A lot of Western action tonight. No, only one Eastern team in action tonight.
Arizona at Tampa, 7:30. Vancouver at Chicago, 8:30. Vegas at San Jose, 10:30. Winnipeg at LA, 10:30.
A lot of Western games tonight. Yeah, once again, only one Eastern team in action, and it's Tampa. Does Tampa have any more clinching scenarios?
I think they can clinch the Presidents somehow.
All right, we've got some birthdays. The only MLB birthday I want to go over is Mr. Sideways Hat Fernando Rodney. He will turn 42 today, born March 18th, 1977, in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. Has played with the started his career in 2002. One of the oldest guys in the league right now, but never will be older than Bartolo.
Is Bartolo signed yet?
Nope. He needs to be. The Mets are going to sign. Detroit, Los Angeles, Tampa, or Angels, Tampa, Seattle, Cubs, Padres, Marlins, Diamondbacks, Twins, Oakland A's. And he is currently on the Oakland A's still. So happy birthday to Mr. Sideways Hat, Fernando Rodney. And then we've got some hockey ones.
Zdeno Chara.
Big Z. He's also 42 today.
All 6'9", I believe.
Actually. I believe the best thing I've heard about him was in NHL 2K6, actually. I believe it was Bob Cole or Harry Neal who said, yeah, if you look in the Ottawa yearbook, it says he was born on March 18th and 19th.
Hmm.
One of the weirdest jokes I've ever heard.
I don't understand.
About his height.
Oh. Terrible. 1,476 games played, 199 goals, 440 assists.
Can't wait for his 200th.
639 points with New York, Boston, and Ottawa.
Probably the worst trade in Ottawa history, trading away Z.
No.
No, I'm just kidding. One of the worst trades.
One of the worst in Islanders history.
Was trading away Big Z, yes.
Milbury.
Mike Milbury?
Yeah.
Yep, Kimo teaming in a guy that was... rode the Chicago Blackhawks to a Stanley Cup. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, Kimo got it.
He didn't do anything.
Did not do anything in that Stanley Cup final. Or in the playoffs.
Or in that entire series.
I mean, yeah, he may have deserved one, but like, come on.
1,108 games played, 117 goals, 454 assists, 571 points with Nashville, Philly, and Chicago. He's 44 today.
A guy that was most known for his time in Philly was a fan favorite. Don't know why.
You want to take this one?
Oh, my favorite goaltender on the Devils right now. Just kidding.
Keith Kincaid.
Knocked.
He's not even on the Devils.
He hasn't played since he's been traded. He hasn't had a single minute of ice time since being traded to Columbus back in February.
You got what, a sixth form?
Fifth round pick in 2024?
So
2023?
Nothing. He's pretty much useless.
Yeah, and he's probably dressed for 3 games, I believe. I don't know why Columbus wanted him. Bad trade. 392 games played in his career. 166, 151, 55. .919 save percentage. 2.39 goals against average with Vancouver, New Jersey.
Those obviously aren't taking in this year.
Well, he's actually played really well of late.
Before the past year and a half.
Despite recent history aside, he's had a really good career. And you can't fault him for that. He was the stalwart on those terrible Devils teams and this terrible Devils team. But Mackenzie Blackwood is the future. So.
You know what I was tempted to put there for one of his teams? Binghamton. One of the best names in hockey history.
Vitaly Vishnevsky, former Devils legend.
And Atlanta Thrashers legend.
Oh, yeah. I think he was... Was he part of the Kovalchuk trade?
I don't...
Might have been. There were so many moving pieces in that Kovalchuk trade, I couldn't even tell. I know Johnny Oduya was part of that trade. Patrice Cormier, Miles Stoys, and Anssi Salmela. I don't think Vishnevsky was on that.
Let's see. I'm checking right
now. And 1,318 games played, 257 goals, 388 assists, and 645 points with Anaheim, New Jersey. Oh, no, because he went to Nashville between them.
Yeah, he was.
Anaheim, Nashville, New Jersey, Nashville, and Atlanta.
You want to know what Anaheim he played with?
The Mighty Ducks.
Yes, so he probably wore the jersey you got.
He did. That's my favorite jersey. It's a good jersey.
So, August 17th, 2006, traded to Atlanta for Carl Stewart and a second. Played in 52 games with the Thrashers. Traded to the Preds for Eric Bélanger.
Bélanger.
And then signed by the Devils as a free agent.
All right.
After one season of play, was then waived.
Yeah. He was not very good for the Devils. There was something about Devils and getting guys the last name starting with V. Vishnevsky, Volchenkov.
It's like you're Swedes.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Card of the day. We love this segment. Card of the day. This time it's hockey. We alternate between hockey and baseball. Last week was a Michael Kopech card. This week, 2003-04 OPG, number 213, Sean Van Allen, the man with two last names.
Is that – who's that on the card with him?
That is Joey Neuwendyke.
I was going to say, it looks like Neuwendyke, but I don't
– We had two guys with last names like that, Neuwendyke and Dietermeyer. So he's drafted 105th overall in 87 by Edmonton. Played 1991 to 04 with Edmonton, Anaheim, Ottawa, Dallas, and Montreal.
84 goals, 185 assists, 269 points in 794 career games.
And he finished, get this, 23rd.
I didn't realize they counted Selke voting that low.
I know, right?
Nowadays, it's just the top three.
I think they did top 25 back then, or top 100. I don't even know. But, yeah, 23rd in Selke voting in 1999-2000. His best season was 93-94 with Anaheim, the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. Was that the inaugural year for Anaheim?
I believe so.
33 points, 8 goals, 25 assists. In 61 career playoff games, he had 5 points, 1 goal, and 4 assists. And the only playoff goal was with Ottawa.
Against New Jersey.
So no overtime game winner in the Eastern Conference Finals in 03 game 1, but the Devils went on to win the cup that year, so it didn't mean anything.
Imagine if that was game 7 of the Eastern Conference.
Oh, my
Conference.
God. I would have left the studio right now.
And he's the current head coach of Carleton University, which is...
The Ontario University Athletics. Up
in Canada.
They do weird things. Like, some of their high schools are called university, and some of their colleges are also called universities.
Canada's would like to point out that this Sean Van Allen... Did I call him Sean Valen?
Sean Valen, yeah. Okay. Well, just like you said, last night, by the way, let me tell you something John said. I was trying to ask him who scored for... I was giving him initials of the guy who got an assist for Edmonton, Jujhar Khaira.
I was just giving out
He's
random
just giving
names.
Out random names, and he goes, Pernell Carl Subban. He said Subban, which is not... Or Subban. He tried to say Superman and Subban at the
same
time.
I'm honestly surprised the Preds haven't come out with those shirts yet.
Oh, yeah, that would be
Nashville good. Predators, if you're listening to this somehow... I want
Get it!
Yeah, I want my money.
You were there. John was there. Scott Hart all night.
I'll take, 10% royalties. That doesn't seem like too bad, does it?
Yeah, no. All
right, yeah.
I'll take a 10% royalty for a 5% stake in your company.
I was saying, this is the... He's wearing the best Sens jersey ever.
I don't know why they got rid of that jersey. And by the way, on the back of this card, it says Neutral Zone on it, which is a shameless plug for a podcast.
That you're listening to right now.
Yes.
All, what, three of you?
Hey, we had...
Hi,
what?
Mr. and Mrs. Gallo.
We had about... hey, Maren, what's up? We had about 18 downloads last week, I believe. Who's downloading our podcast? Who wants to listen to us talk about random sports
and
stuff?
What? Like, no offense, but half these sports are out of date already.
Yeah, so...
I don't know.
I mean, we've been on a steady incline since we had Voldemort on our show, but... well, if we look at this, I want to talk about something.
By the way, can we just play a quick RIP to... Michael Greco, who is transferring this year.
Yeah, we've seen him around campus. He has not been back on the podcast recently. We need to have a farewell show for him once he leaves. Yeah, Mr. Michael Greco, a.k.a. Goob, will be transferring to Duquesne for the 2020 school year, 2019-2020 school year. Best of luck to him at Duquesne. He was a good guy to have on the show. Probably one of our best co-hosts.
Yeah, I mean, we have him, Voldemort, and who else?
Luke Yost.
Yost doesn't really count.
Yeah, I mean, he co-hosted one time.
Hedrick.
Yeah, Hedrick hasn't really been in either. But, yeah, our first two podcasts, by the way, I think it was 28 and 26 downloads. Third one was either the first or second time we had Krebs on. Two downloads. That's unreal. All right, so that's all we have for today. Not a lot of news happening. I'm assuming with the season getting in full swing in a few weeks for the MLB, we'll have more to talk about. Can't wait for it, by the way. Going to be an exciting season. Can't wait to watch some of the games and finally put some MLB scores on our document. It's been way too long for that. That's all we have today.
Well, I have one quick question for you.
Yes.
Do you know who is second in the Swiss National League in scoring right now?
Could you give me a hint?
He was, I believe, he's a center and right wing.